Now, the next few verses are an explanation about verse number 18, where it talks about the mind controlled and how, you know, without desires, what is the benefit? So what is the benefit of meditation and of the spiritual study is covered in the next three or four verses. So we'll do one more today. So verse number 20. Yatro paramate chittam,
yatro paramate chittam,
niruddham yoga sevaya,
niruddham yoga sevaya,
yatra chaivatmanatmanam,
yatra chaivatmanatmanam,
pashyannatmani tushyati,
pashyannatmani tushyati,
yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashyannatmani tushyati. So even though Bhagavan has used the word yatra, what he means is yada, where. But sometime for meter they may use similar sounding word. But the idea is yada, when. So yatra means where. So when uparamate chittam. Uparamate means it is withdrawn, it is controlled. Uparati is a special quality of a seeker. We'll talk about that. So uparamate, so when the mind chittam is withdrawn and niruddham and is controlled, how? By the practice of yoga. So here the yoga is dhyana yoga or meditation. Like in the third chapter, he talked about karma yoga. Then now he's talking about dhyana yoga. Then in 12th chapter, he will talk about bhakti yoga. And then 9th or 13th, he will talk about jnana yoga. So the yoga is the science. And here he's talking about meditation. So niruddham yoga sevaya, by the practice of dhyana yoga, the mind is controlled and withdrawn from worldly things. Yatra and there. Cha eva and alone. Atmana atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. So the same word atma is used with three different. One is atmana, is the instrumental case, by the self. Atmanam is the object. Pashyan, seeing, atmani, in the atma, tushyati. So the seventh case. So the third case, second case and seventh case are used for atma. So where it is said, atmana, atmanam. So by the self is controlled and seen. Seen or perceived. So by the self is perceived, pashyan, and then he's content in the self. So it's kind of little confusing when you say seeing the self, by the self, he's satisfied in the self. So we'll cover that. Tushyati means he's satisfied. So the mind is controlled, not running outside, withdrawn, directed to the self, and then using the self, I perceive the self, and then I become content in the self. So that is, so such verses need a little explanation. So uparati means withdrawal. So in those of you who know the sadhan chatushtaya, vivek, vairagya, shat sampatti and mumukshutvam, we have talked about that before. So vivek is discrimination, right understanding, vairagya is detachment, shat sampatti are the six qualities of a seeker, and mumukshutvam is intense desire for liberation. So the shat sampatti is Shama, Dama, Uparati, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhan. So Shama is control of the mind, Dama is control of the senses, Uparati is to withdraw from worldly objects. Enough, now I don't need them for my happiness. And then Titiksha and forbearance, Shraddha is faith and Samadhan is abidance. So Uparati here, it means that the mind is now withdrawn from the world and centered on the self. How? By the practice of yoga. So I have to, so people say, I have been meditating for 3 months. I don't see any benefit. We say, you know, how long did it take you to become a doctor or become an engineer? 30 years, 25 years, right? There we are ready to give time. But for God, I have been studying Bhagavad Gita for 1 or 2 months. Jara bhi fayda nahi hua. I have no benefit. Are all the other things we are ready to give time, but for God we want very quick, you know, instant, like instant coffee, we want instant realization. Say, I want to see God, I want to reach God. You know, in our Puranas, they tell about these yogis who used to sit for years in the cold and in the snow and in the Himalayas. And Bhagavan is not even asking us to do that. He's just saying, sit and study and contemplate and turn your attention to me. It's very simple. You can do it in your air-conditioned home. You can do it on a cushion. You don't have to. So we have to give it time. And to succeed in anything, we have to give it time. Like you want to become a singer, or you want to learn music, or you want to learn a musical instrument. We are ready to give time, right? We take lessons. And or we, you know, our kids, when we take them for lessons, and we say you have to practice every day. And then after years of practice, become a good musician. Or you want to be successful in your profession. What do? You not only study for 25, 30 years to become a doctor, but then you're constantly reading the journals and keeping up with the literature. And you want that, you know, you don't want to fall behind. Any new information comes out in your field. So there we are ready to give time. So similarly, in this path, we have to give time. Now we'll try to explain this statement that with the self, he perceives the self and is content in the self. There's a very, very beautiful story. It's called the 10th man story. Some of you may have heard it. It's a very, very beautiful, it's a very famous story in Vedanta. So there were these 10 disciples who were a little bit foolish of this guru, a very wise guru, who had these 10 disciples who were not very smart. And so they were supposed to go for a puja, you know, across. There was a shallow river they had to cross. And they could walk across. The river was not very deep. And he said, you cross the river and go up the path that comes, and to the top of the hill is the temple. Go there, all of you, 10 of you, go there for the puja. So they all went. The guru said, you know, one thing, be careful. Don't make sure nobody gets lost. Make sure all 10 of you are together and keep count who is there. So they said, okay, no problem. Guruji will go. So they cross the river, walk, and they get there, and they cross the river, and they say, oh, Guruji said, let's count. So one of them, who was the leader, he said, okay, I'll count. All of you line up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He said, where's the 10th man? He forgot to count himself. We lost the 10th man. He probably is left in the river. Other one says, you don't know how to count. You stand in the line. I'll count. He also counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. Oh, where's the 10th man? And they're all looking and they start crying. Oh, we know our Guruji sent 10 of us and we lost one. We only are 9. Where's the 10th man? Oh, and they're sitting and crying. Now they can't go ahead because they have to wait for this 10th man, right? Who is not sure, who is lost. And Guruji will be upset and angry, you know, you lost one of them. And so they're sitting and crying and very unhappy. And so this wise person walks by. He said, why are you all crying? He said, we lost the 10th man. He said, what do you mean 10? He says, we were 10 when we left and crossing the river, one of us got taken away. We are only 9. He said, okay, let me count. So he already can see there are 10. So he said, okay, let me count. All of you line up. So he has a small stick in his hand. So he gently hits 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And 10th one he hits hard. There, 10th, you are the 10th man. So he says, yeah, we are 10. So the point is that this story is that they were looking for the 10th man until they realized, I am the 10th man. See, we, when we start on the spiritual journey, we say we are looking for Atma, looking for Self, looking for Brahman, looking for Self-realization. But we have to understand, I am that 10th man. I am that Brahman, that consciousness that I am looking for. I means not as this body, mind and intellect, but I as this Atma. So I and everyone is the 10th man. Actually, this morning, because I was preparing, my meditation was on that. Literally, for a long time, I sat and just said, I am the 10th man. Because we are always looking for this 10th man outside, you know, like all of them. We're looking for the, they found only 9 because they're looking for the 10th man. So similarly, we are looking for enlightenment. We are looking for joy, looking for peace, looking for happiness in the outside, in the 9. But when you realize that enlightenment is within, joy is within, happiness is within, bliss is within, then you realize I am joy, I am bliss, I am happiness, I am that enlightened soul. So that is, should be the, our clear understanding. And that's what Bhagavan says, you are that. And when you use just as, how did this person understand I am the 10th man? Using his mind and intellect, right? The mind and intellect, which was looking outside, the wise person made him look inward. So similarly, we have to use our mind and intellect and understand that I am that 10th man. That's why this is a very, very powerful story and is told in all Vedanta classes to teach us about meditation. And when they say pashyan, seeing, it's not that this person saw that I am the 10th man. No, even if his eyes were closed, he would have understood I am the 10th man. Like you're sitting in a dark room and I say, are you there? You'd say, wait a minute, I have to turn on the light to see I am there. No, I don't have to say that. Even with the eyes closed, even with the lights off in complete darkness, if somebody asks, are you there? You say, yeah, I am there because I can see myself. Not see as physically see, but I know myself. So one who knows himself or herself to be that, that is called pashyan. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, many times Bhagavan will use the word pashyan. But what he means by seeing is experiencing or knowing. Just as the dreamer can never know the waker, dreamer can become the waker. Dreamer, when the dream ends, the dreamer does not see the waker, but dreamer becomes the waker. So you and I, in our ignorance, we think ourselves to be this perceiver, feeler, thinker, this ego, and working in the world of objects, emotions, thoughts, with my body, mind, and intellect. But when my wisdom dawns, then I see, oh, I see, I am that consciousness, I am that self. So that understanding is what is emphasized in this particular verse. And that is why this explanation is given. Because otherwise this truth, all the masters say it is impossible to explain this. They say if it's impossible to explain, that means you didn't experience. Master has experienced. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna has that understanding. But to make it clear to ignorant people like you and me, such examples and such stories are given. Why? Because this ocean, see, if you want to hold the ocean in a cup, can you do that? The entire Pacific Ocean? No, I can't. In a little cup? No, not even 1/1,000,000th of the ocean I can hold. So similarly, in this limited ego, this body, mind and intellect, the perceiver, feeler and thinker, I'm trying to understand the total consciousness, Brahman, the totality. I cannot understand it, but I can become one with it. Just as the cup, when it is left in the ocean, becomes one with the ocean. And that is called, so I become one with that total reality. And for that, proper study is required. Proper study. That's why studying the Bhagavad Gita, thinking about it, you know, listening to it again. We do have talks on firstpower.info. So if you want to, some points are not clear, listening to them again. So why? Because the Brahmakar vritti should be established. What it means is that what is Brahman? That thought should be clear. Like when I have seen this book, what happens? Pustakar vritti. So I know that this is a pustak, this is a book. Or if I tell you, think about apple, then immediately apalakar vritti comes in your mind. It's because that knowledge is very clear to us. What is an apple? What is a book? But what is a Brahman? What is Brahman? That consciousness, that understanding has to be so clear that when we mention Brahman, it should be my, you know, self, my consciousness, which is the self of all, which is all-pervading, which is eternal, which is unblemished, undestroyed, never ending, and which is beyond this all this 14 worlds and sustains everything. So all that should come, and that's why repeatedly these ideas are hammered in us, so that this knowledge of who is Brahman or what is Brahman, Brahman is nothing but my inner self, that should be very clear. And for that, the right language. See, Vedanta has its own terminology, just as when you're studying chemistry, you know, there is a terminology. There is C6H12O6, you know, that is the formula for carbon. When you're studying physics, E equals MC squared has its own language. Biology has its own language. Botany has its own language, but they talk about photosynthesis and stamen and all those things. So similarly, Vedanta has its own terminology, which should be understood correctly. And then only our ignorance will be removed. Ajnanam will be removed. So that is the importance of studying and understanding that the Lord is within me. So that's what we studied today, that the mind should be controlled, centered in the self, free from longings. Mind should be directed upwards, focused like a flame, in complete samadhi, and I should withdraw from all worldly engagements, at least while I'm sitting for meditation or for prayer, and understand that the I am the tenth man, the one that I'm looking for is within me, and proper study of the language is required. So that is what we covered today. If anybody has any questions or comments, either about what we studied or anything else, please feel free.
Maybe on the BMI chart, where is the human brain? Where does it fall? In the mind?
The mind and intellect. Actually, the human brain is in the body. The mind and intellect are beyond the brain. The brain is just the physical organ. So brain comes in the body, but the mind and intellect is much bigger than the brain. The mind is part of the total mind, and the intellect is the part of the total intellect. And the mind can, you know, go through all the experiences, and the intellect can even contemplate on what I haven't studied so far. Mind only can work in the known, and mind is called samshayatmaka. It is the, has doubts. Should I do it? Should I not do it? But the intellect is the one that decides, which is called nishchayatmaka buddhi. So intellect can even look in the future that, you know, if this is how we have been doing things, but if we do it in another way, that's how all these great inventions and discoveries were made, because people were going beyond what is known, like the apple fell on Newton's head. Apple has been falling for thousands of years, but he wanted to know why did the apple fall and not go up. So the mind and intellect, they use the brain. Brain is an instrument of the mind and intellect. So even though we think mind and intellect is only in the brain, mind and intellect is much bigger than the brain. They use the brain as an instrument. So that's why we say our mind is a part of the total mind and the intellect is a part of the total intellect. Yeah, because people often have this idea that that my thinking is only confined to the brain. No, the brain is an instrument that I use. Yes?
If Om or the totality is consciousness, then me right now, this BMI, is unconsciousness.
Right.
In the process of the Nididhyasana,
yes,
as I'm gradually transitioning there, the watcher or the aware of me while I'm doing it, is there any part of that that is consciousness?
Actually, the witness is the consciousness. Consciousness is the sakshi. Because this consciousness, like I know my vasanas, right? I know my habits. I know my body. My body is aching or my body is healthy. I know my mind is disturbed, mind is, you know, agitated, or mind is peaceful. I know my intellect, I understand this, I don't understand this. I know my perceiver, feeler, and thinker. I know the objects, emotions, thoughts. So everything is known to Om, to that consciousness, so that is the Sakshi. And one of the meditation techniques that we teach, which is also there in the first power.info, if you go, there are a lot of guided meditations, is the being a witness, where I am not the body. You know, this Shankaracharya ji's Nirvan Shatkam, Manobodha Ahankar Chittani Naham Nacha Shrotra Jivhe Nacha Gran Netre. So he says, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect, I am not the body, I am not the sense organs, I am not the organs of action. Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. I am that consciousness which is of the nature of Chit, consciousness, awareness. So that witnessing Sakshi consciousness is me. So what you are doing is you are, in meditation you can do that. It's called Vyatirek Anvaya Vyatirek. So I negate what I am not and state what I am. So I am not Sharad, I am not this body, I am not a male, I am not a human, I am not a seer, a thinker, but I am that consciousness. So it should become a vritti, should become a thought, and that consciousness is Sakshi. So the more you stay as a witness, even when I am driving, you know, part of me should be aware that, okay, I am aware of my mind. And even when I am doing, like on the treadmill, I should be aware, you know, what my mind is doing, my body is doing. So instead of saying, I am walking on the treadmill, you say, I am illumining this body that is walking on the treadmill. Or I am illumining this mind that is at this moment disturbed or this that is agitated. So when you are able to witness and detach, then your mind becomes less disturbed. And so practicing, then what happens is that body will have its ups and downs, health, unhealth, mind will have its ups and downs, intellect will have success and failures. But if I am established in that wisdom, then yes, I deal with body has some health, I take care of it, but I don't get disturbed. Now I have this disease, what am I to do? Or this person didn't talk to me, now what am I to do? Or this, I had this failure. It's okay. I am the consciousness. I am none of those. I had a failure. That's okay. I'll work harder next time and do it. And if it's not meant for me, it's not meant for me. So the ability to ride, it can only happen when you are established in that wisdom. So practicing being a Sakshi throughout the day, try to witness what is my mind doing at this moment, is one of the fastest ways to achieve oneness with the self. So the Sakshi is one of the ways to meditate. Meditate on the witness. I am the witness. Thank you. That's a good question. Any more? Sujata, anything?
Meditation, you're staying as quiet and rooted. But when you are, if you want to take that further lamp, and when you want to keep your mind steady, then like when you're walking, you use your hand sometimes, so it doesn't. So the way I was thinking is then the hand in the outside world, maybe you have to keep control on your sense organs so that you don't flicker.
Exactly. So, right. And then, yeah, then what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, then it goes further than if you move around in the world. So after the sense organs, then the mind you need to control. So you have to stay kind of some way of protection so that you can lamp don't flicker.
Yes, yes. So same thing, just as you are protecting the lamp from the flickering. So the mind, but you cannot be like a horse, you know, where you will see the world, but the world will lose its fascination for you, that I'm no longer fascinated by the world, that the world is the most important thing. World is there. Yes, I'll deal with the world. We cannot take sannyas and go to the forest and meditate. We have to stay in the world, but as they say, be in the world, but not off the world. The world is not, has so much hold on me because my goal is something different. So then the mind is seeing the world but not letting them. Yeah. So yeah, thank you. That's a good point. Anything else?
Is that the same as you were talking about earlier? So the witness is the Atma.
Right.
Everything else is anatma.
Right.
And true. Having that thought 100% of the time is what we need.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Because everything is anatma and everything is temporary.
Yes.
And what is temporary can only give me temporary happiness, can only give me temporary comfort. If I want permanent happiness, permanent comfort, find it in atma. In the self, in the Lord. Everything else is temporary. So everything beyond Om is changing. Vasanas, body, mind, intellect, perceiver, feeler, thinker, objects. All of this is anatma. All of this is temporary. And that alone is permanent. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the second chapter itself tells him, Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. He says, you are never born and you will never die. Because you and me and all these kings, we are all Atma. We are all that consciousness. We have just taken a form of Arjuna or Krishna or Duryodhana or Yudhishthira or Bhishma. Or all of those are just names and forms. But all of us are that one consciousness which never dies because it's never born. So that is. Thank you. Good questions, good points everybody brought. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhave. Om shanti shanti shanti. Harihi Om Shri Guru Priyo. Harihi Om. Thank you.